Happy Saturday, Nashville. Welcome into another edition of Four's Company. Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman behind the glass this morning, coming at you live from our big old cold studio where it's been real hot this week here in Nashville. So glad to be with you guys this morning. We have lots to dive into. Plenty of conversation around the Tennessee Titans. No longer the offseason. So good to have some big headlines to hit on. We're taking your thoughts all morning long at 615-737-1025. Fellas, let's check in. How are you guys doing this week? Frazier?
Phenomenal. Doing really well, actually. Woke up feeling kind of like groggy-ish, but I was wide awake. Other than that, watching some Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
I know I sound like I just woke up.
Hey, you sound like a dad.
Sorry.
Grandpa.
I've been awake. It's just my voice is all raspy for some reason. Woke up, watched some Olympics. By the way, have y'all watched archery yet in the Olympics?
I watched a little bit.
Kind of electric.
Unbelievable.
Not going
to
lie.
They play some just electric music on top of everybody trying to shoot at the arrows and all that whatnot. Holy cow.
It's fun.
South Korea, they're a bunch of sharpshooters.
I've been watching the 3-on-3 basketball.
Yeah.
Hard to watch.
Yeah.
Because it is, yeah.
Literally, Team USA is Jimmer Fredette, if you guys remember who that is. That was the BYU superstar.
Yeah. I was telling my brother the other day, I was like, is that Jimmer Fredette?
Yeah. I hadn't seen Jimmer in years, and then it's two Uber drivers.
Oh,
so,
man.
It's hard to watch. They're getting killed every game.
Latvia, though. Not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Latvia's not bad.
Newt, school's coming up, but how was your week at Titans training camp and just this week in general, man?
It was fun, man. I really, really enjoy being out there. Tuesday was a wild day.
Yeah, it was.
For practice. We had some fights. I will use my platform to come out and say I was the one that rear-ended the intern in the parking lot.
Oh, that what was is this? I didn't hear about this. What do you mean?
It's okay.
It's okay. Well, long story short, I was driving the truck.
It's hard to see it through the bus.
It's hard to see through the... It's tinted and, you know, the bus.
Had you ever driven a truck before this one?
No.
Oh, boy.
So that was getting used to it. I was trying to get out of the parking lot, trying to get a good angle, and I pulled up a little too far back and...
Oh, my goodness.
Nailed an intern's car. But here's where it gets fun.
Not nailed. More of just a touch.
Just a
light,
kiss.
Light,
little like love tap.
A bumper
kiss.
Love tap.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a little dent. I didn't have to...
Do anything.
Yeah. I was out of there.
Okay.
But the fun part was Wednesday, I was in the media room eating lunch with the rest of the media, and mm-hmm. it was kind of a collective conversation, mostly led by Paul Kaharsky. Did you guys hear about the guy that nailed the intern? Oh, my God. Never mind. The intern's car, we'll say.
Yes.
The intern's car.
We understand, yeah.
And they're like, yeah, who was that guy? And it was me, our friend David Janes, and Parker Kelly all sitting together, and
yeah.
we were all just kind of straight-faced.
It's like, oh, I don't know.
I don't know. It just wasn't me. But yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Now you know.
He wants to be an idiot.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I've taught Jake Wallman well,
yes.
busting out the Roman Reigns.
Absolutely.
Good job.
Speaking of Jake, recently married man like myself. I'm 2 months in. Jake recently got married. But
I'm 2 weeks in.
Yeah, I know.
Congratulations.
But how's
buddy.
Everything going?
Everything's
right?
good. Yeah, I'm doing great. The married life, I think, suits me.
Does it now?
In what way? What have you noticed?
I walk on a lot more P's and Q's, walk on pins and needles.
Okay. Yeah, I understand.
Yes, always. but other than that, everything's great.
Good. Yeah. What? Let me ask you this, because obviously my experience was better than I thought it would be in terms of getting food. So did you guys struggle at all having the cake
no.
or getting
so,
meals or anything?
No PB&Js for dinner, right?
No PB&Js for dinner.
Good.
No, no, like, waters to drink, stuff like that. Water was used in maybe a different manner.
Okay.
You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint when you're
right.
going to the bar.
Yeah.
But so I had a cousin recently get married in May.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife took to her as a friend, as a new family member. But when she showed up to the rehearsal that Friday, my mom looked at my cousin who had just recently got married and said, can you please run this show? And she said, absolutely. And she is very hard line, we're doing this at this time, you know, because she just got married and that's how she wanted her wedding coordinator to do it. So
okay.
It was very like, you know, you guys are doing, you're going to go right. Pictures now, everybody's yep. doing this. And then when we walked in after they introduced us, that's when we had our first dance. And
nice.
Then we got to sit down and she brought us our plates. So it was very, we were very hands off.
Yeah. That's
it
good.
Was, yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, right, stop talking about this. I'm sad I'm single now.
Hey.
You're early 20s. You got plenty of time.
Yes. I saw that reminds me, yesterday or Thursday was National Girlfriends Day. Sorry.
Oh, trust me. I know.
Yeah.
And the Gwinnett Stripers put out a very fiery tweet that said that you could combat their loneliness by coming to that game that night against our own Nashville Sounds.
Wow. That's low. Dang.
Single boys for life.
That's all right. Well, look, guys, we're off and rolling here this morning. Glad to be here with you. I want to hear at least one big takeaway from everybody here in the first segment from this week, just something that you noticed. Obviously, the big thing this week was the fact that, one, Arden Key, 6-game suspension is looming. Nothing official from the league as of yet, but that's Paul Kuharsky reporting that. But also, too, Brian Callahan said this morning right before our show started that it is confirmed. DeAndre Hopkins will be out for, quote, several weeks.
Oh.
It's anticipated that it's 4 to 6 weeks with a strained knee. So that's where I want to start things off. From this week, Connor was out there and got to see. Apparently, the injury happened on Wednesday, so there was that as well. Also, Treshawn Harrison, apparently, he got hurt as well. I don't know much about him, but today there's also no Jamal Adams, Anthony Kendall, and then Sadiq Charles is also absent for personal reasons this morning as well from Titans practice. So, but after all that being said, anything else from Titans camp or anything from this week stand out to you guys?
Yeah, being there, my main takeaway is Treylon Burks is a different Treylon Burks.
Yeah, I've heard a lot.
He's looked great. And I know we say this every year, Treylon Burks always looks good in training camp, and we'll see how he looks in the
it's
season.
It's all eye candy.
But he is in shape, one. Like, he looks like a tight end. It's ridiculous. He looks comfortable on special teams. He's been kind of running, you know, kind of seeing where he fits into the special
teams.
Does he
seem lost? That's my question.
No. He seems like he knows what he's doing. And he's been kind of sprinkling in first team reps for the offense. But when he's out there, he looks great. He looks like the guy they drafted him to be. And, I mean, maybe that's just the defense is doing a good job covering Calvin Ridley, who's also electric, by the way.
Right.
Big
yeah.
deep ball completed to him
but
Wednesday.
Now we know he's not going to be around for several weeks. Yeah.
Well, that's D-Hop. Calvin Ridley is. Calvin Ridley's going to have to take the weight of the wide receiver
maybe
room.
Treylon Burks.
Maybe
too.
Treylon Burks.
Hey. Right.
Maybe NWI. Tyler Boyd, of course, out there. But what I'm getting at is Treylon Burks looks like a different Treylon Burks. It doesn't look like that. Same, you know, I have asthma, Treylon Burks, we had the first year, or always, what was it last year? You had calf issues or something like that.
And obviously concussions
as concussion
well,
so, against the Eagles. But
yeah, to your point, though, Newt, like with Treylon Burks, and I've realized this with other players too, not just him, but when players end up getting married and like or having a kid on the way expected, there's a maturity factor that just kind of switches for
100%.
Players. And maybe that's what is humbling to him and kind of putting him at this, like, I guess, mental headspace of peace because, like, I've seen it between favorite teams of mine and soccer where they're players that end up having kids at 22, 23 years old, and they're just young adults, and they're still trying to figure out how to maneuver. And there was, like, a good 1 to 2 month grace period. But, I mean, as for Treylon Burks during training camp, I feel like that's where your grace period is and maybe catches fire at the start of the season if DeAndre Hopkins is not ready. Because what Keyser just said about several weeks,
yeah.
to me, that's telling me that's more than 4 to 6 weeks.
I think it's going to be
that
right up until
like,
week one probably.
Yeah. When you hear the word several, it's more than 4 to 6 to me.
Well,
I
we're about
we're looking at the 8 to 9 range. I'm not reporting it. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
right.
We're about 3 weeks out from week one, I think.
Okay.
The first week is the week of the 27th, I want to say.
All right.
So about
normally
four.
Yeah, normally first week's around 27th and then
so
to September.
I would expect this is going off nothing. This is just my inference. Yeah. I would expect D-Hop to be out until at least week four.
Really?
Yeah. Because I feel like he's at that age where it doesn't heal as quickly.
Injuries lingering.
I could see maybe a little setback or two just with his age. He's 31, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That'd be 32, yeah.
32. He's up there. So I have a hard time seeing him back with the team by week one.
I don't know. Yeah. I think week one is a bit of a stretch for sure. Maybe a little sooner than week four.
Yeah.
Maybe around three or two.
I don't know.
I'm not trying to play, you know, prices.
No. Yeah.
Like maybe two or three sounds about right.
Yeah. We'll have to see what the latest is on DeAndre Hopkins as training camp continues. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025 this morning. Force Company off and rolling. We've got a lot to hit on here this morning. We're even going to hear from Tucker Harlan up in Knoxville because Tennessee football is right around the corner. College football in general is right around the corner. So we're getting excited for that, getting you geared up for what's coming up in Knoxville more specifically. We're going to touch on the latest with Nashville SC. Our boy Nick Frazier has got the latest from watching that team. They're on a downhill struggle right now, but that's something that we can touch on here in just a little bit. And the Titans as well, taking all of your thoughts this morning on the two-tone blue. What's going on at training camp this week? What are the guys up to at practice this morning even? We'll keep you updated, but we're off and rolling here on Force Company here on 102.5 and 106.3, the game.
On the flip side, on the Latham front, what do you make of what you've seen from him from 2 days in padded practice?
Love it. Love it. He's a competitor, man. And you see, you know, he made it clear because it's that fight, but that altercation that he and Simmons had. To me, that's just Simmons just kind of flexing, like, hey, man, this is my stuff right here. You know what I mean? I think that's what that was. But Latham, the good thing is he didn't back down. And the thing that's funny, I was talking to a friend yesterday. He was asking me about practice and Latham. And I'm like, man, this dude was finishing blocks without pads on. You know, you love the physicality that he brings. He looks good. I tell you, he spent a week with Trent Williams over the offseason, so that couldn't have done anything but good for him. So you have that as well. And there are similarities, you know, as far as skill sets and stuff. So it's going to be good. I think he's going to be just fine.
That was ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport from Robbie and Rex Road on Friday. Coming back at you, Force Company live on Saturday morning, giving you all the latest on the two-tone blue. What's the latest from training camp? That was an update on J.C. Latham, the future of the Titans on display for the last few weeks. Looks like he's been doing pretty well. I've seen some videos, heard some positive things about him. But with DeAndre Hopkins out, fellas, we're going to hit on this wide receiver depth this morning. And it's always good to hear that one of the top-tier rookies, I would say, in the NFL is doing well at camp. But more importantly, this week has been focused a lot on what will the Titans do depth-wise. And let's start off there. Can we really trust Treylon Burks and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to be what we need them to be this year? But also, more importantly, I think with the focus being on Treylon. Treylon also this morning was taking the first team reps on special teams, so we know that he's still doing that. We kind of mentioned that in our headlines with Connor's note on that, that it's been good to see him, that he knows what's going on. But guys, do we really trust Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook, those guys that, you know, have been around, but they've really got to step up? Can they replace that production somewhat with D-Hop being out?
I think so. I mean, you know, everybody talks about this, like Will Levis not having to be C.J. Stroud and things along those lines. Like the wide receiver core will help him out along the way. Well, this wide receiver core is pretty deep. I mean, without D-Hop, they're still pretty deep. So if they can produce without D-Hop in that equation and have Will Levis maybe step it up a notch, then sure, that kind of kills two birds with one stone because you want to see what you have in a quarterback of Will Levis. And with one of your main wide receivers out with DeAndre Hopkins, you're able to know, yeah, maybe we can invest in this guy. And hey, look, DeAndre Hopkins maybe out. Treylon Burks, he stepped up to the plate. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, we all know what he's about.
Yeah,
he's been
never
pretty,
count that guy out.
Yeah, he's been pretty consistent for the last couple of seasons. So I mean, when it comes to that, you shouldn't have any issues.
I'm going to disagree with you to an extent. I cannot trust Treylon Burks yet.
Okay.
Training camp, he's looked great, but I need to see him in game. Who I can trust is the guys you brought in, Calvin Ridley. Proven guy in this league.
Mm-hmm.
is needing to take the next step, I feel like. Last year was a bit of a down year for him to an extent, and then, of course, the year before, he's out with a betting scandal. But I trust in Calvin Ridley. Tyler Boyd, I absolutely trust in, because he's your kind of your short route slant. I don't want to say check down, but he's a reliable guy. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, I can't count out. Every time I stop trusting him, he does something.
Yeah.
He's your perennial move the chains guy. Treylon Burks, I do need to see more out of him, but so far in training camp, he's shown me everything I need to see.
Yeah.
Or that I want to see, not that I need to see.
When it comes to more what you need to see, it's more of just seeing it in game.
Right.
Okay.
Same with Will Levis.
True.
I can't trust Will Levis yet as, you know, a franchise quarterback because I don't know. It's a very small sample size.
You don't know what you have.
We don't know what we have yet. And I don't think we will know what we have until the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to start with is how reliable not only is the wide receiver core, but also the guy that's slinging the ball around the yard. I think that's important to keep in mind, especially with knowing that, hey, Levis, we know he's, you know, an average quarterback right now. We know that he can step up. We know that, you know, for the most part, he's got a new mentality. I think that's the most refreshing thing so far, and Connor can probably attest to it listening to him in person. I think it's different. We can play these clips. We can see him on video, but being around him even in drills too, you can go, this guy feels different. This guy's going to bring something different to the team this year. But real quick, Adam in Portland has a thought on the wide receivers this morning. Adam, what you got for us?
I feel like you guys are missing a big point. It's toxic neglect to the tight end position. And when you have I don't care who's playing wide receiver, man. Look at all the good quarterbacks in the league. They all have somebody, especially young ones. They have somebody at tight end that's going to pull defenders towards the middle. So that way the wide receivers have one-on-one shots, man, down the field. If not, we're super soft, man. They could pretend all day long that Josh Wiley is a real tight end, which he's, man, whatever, or Chig, either one of them, they both suck, man. Like we gotta understand that, like, that position, I can't think of anybody that's softer at that position. So, like, the Titans, they've missed addressing a big spot in my mind. Like, I was worried about it before D-Hop got hurt. Now I'm like, okay, they've got to do something there first, in my opinion.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Just thank you for your thought this morning on that, Adam. I think that's interesting to bring up. I don't know. I think last year was interesting. Chig was not what we thought he would be. And especially at camp, there's been a lot of hype around Josh Wiley, too. I don't know how much you guys have noticed that. Like I said, once again, Connor, you've maybe seen that more.
He has a good point.
Yeah.
To my knowledge. I think he has a good point in that these elite quarterbacks in the league always have a tight end. Look at Patrick Mahomes. He's got Travis Kelce. Lamar Jackson has Mark Andrews.
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts has Dallas Goedert.
Yep.
What I can tell you, based on what I've seen from camp, is the connection between Will Levis and Chig Okonkwo is there.
Okay.
It's 100% there. Mm. Now, can that translate over to a real NFL game? That's remaining to be seen.
Right, yeah.
But Chig has also looked great in camp. He's not dropping balls. He brought in a pretty decent deep ball the other day. Pulled it right down.
Interesting.
He looks great. And I know we're in training camp. This is overreaction season.
Yeah.
Sunshine and rainbows.
Sunshine and rainbows or doom and gloom.
Sure.
Depending on what we're talking about. But what I've seen of on-field practice in pads, Chig Okonkwo at your tight end position looks great. And Josh Wiley looks great too.
Right.
I see Josh Wiley as more of a blocking tight end, in my opinion. But to Adam's point, yes, you are right. The tight end leaves to be desired, I feel, for an elite quarterback.
No question.
No question.
Yeah, and also I think it's important in mind, you know, this is a coach that's calling plays for the first time as well. So I think in the preseason, you know, not that that's going to indicate as much as I would like it to in this sense where I'm going with it, but in the preseason, I want to see how often the tight ends do get involved then, to Adam's point. If they do get involved early and often, or if they are relied upon, you know, in third down situations, that's going to tell me a lot. I doubt they go to tight ends on third down, but, you know, I would say early on, those first two downs, I'm going to be looking forward to, okay, who are they looking for on the field. And it could be really good that Will is establishing good connections with not just a few of his wideouts, you know, tight ends included, but with everyone. So far, it feels like a pretty even keel process.
I'll say one thing about the tight end position along with Will Levis and the offensive line. I don't know who said it this past week. I don't know if it was Big Joe or D-Mace or Chase or whoever it was. They mentioned Will Levis throwing short passes to the left side of the offensive line, not completing any of those passes. Now, it's not about the completing or incomplete passes for me. It's the factor of being comfortable throwing to the backside of your body. Now, if you're able to do that, then you should have tight ends available to throw to. If you don't, if you're not comfortable throwing to the backside, your blind side, and or throwing to your front side and not having enough help protection on the offensive line, you're going to see more tight end sets where they're blocking.
Absolutely.
Because that's going to be the downfall, or I guess that's going to be the big concern for the Titans this year, and it will continue to be, is the offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, a year ago, Brian Callahan was part of a team that had Irv Smith Jr. as its tight end. I mean, good grief. Like, I'm not going to compare apples to apples here, but I think he does have a more formidable tight end room.
Chick's
here,
got a little bit more promise than Irv Smith Jr.
But the crazy thing was, though, when he was in Cincinnati, he utilized his tight ends really well.
Oh, yeah. He did, yeah.
Like, you can't knock him for that. Like, when Callahan was the OC in Cincinnati, there were times where you would not expect the tight end to be used and was used and ended up possibly scoring a touchdown.
Especially with their wide receiver room.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd now in Nashville, which is, I like that signing now because that's a Callahan boy. Yeah. Who was the tight end before Irv Smith?
I think you're thinking of CJ Uzomah.
Yeah, Uzomah.
Yep.
Yeah.
New York Jet. Yep.
He showed a lot of promise for me in fantasy. But I drafted him and then he would have like one catch for 5 yards.
As it goes.
Yeah, but actually last year, the tight end that led receiving yards for the Bengals was Tanner Hudson, weirdly enough. I mean, I don't even know much about that.
I believe
that,
he was a rookie last year?
No, he's 29. Oh, no, he was a fifth-year guy.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But the other tight end that we're probably thinking of was Sample.
Drew Sample.
Yeah,
that's
so
it.
No, I'm thinking of another one.
Drew Sample was a fantasy gym last year.
No, he was. Dude,
who's the one that went to Carolina?
For three solid weeks where I needed tight end production, I got it from Drew Sample.
Let me tell you, the most undefeated fantasy player of all time. Week one, Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
Not wrong. You're not wrong.
You cannot
there,
stop it.
That is one. That's a sleeper pick. When we talk more about fantasy, that'll be a
I don't think he's on a team anymore.
Nah, probably not. But hey, on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Skyler texts in and says, I hope that Josh Wiley can open it up this year. He's 6'7". We could certainly use that size in the middle of the field. I could not agree more. I think both of them, even having two tight end sets, that would be phenomenal to keep an eye on too, Frazier. I know that you kind of hit on that earlier. Yeah. So what do you think about the Titans possibly doing that too?
I would love to see that. I would like to see more two tight end sets just as for blocking purposes. I like using the tight ends for the passing game, but only if you have a solid offensive line.
Right, yeah.
I've already reiterated that, but at the same time, if you don't have it, don't use it.
Yeah. How surprising would it be if they used two tight ends in a passing play and they weren't blocking, though? That'd be wild.
I mean, I feel like it would catch the defense off guard.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, it would have to put them in a weird position of not playing man and have to play zone.
Think about if that's – and I'm not saying this is going to happen. I don't know anything. What if they did that on, like, you know, goal line plays?
I was thinking goal line.
I mean, that really could be something that you could watch for this year.
Yeah.
So – but look, we are taking your thoughts all morning long on the Two-Tone Blue, 615-737-1025. What do you guys think out there about the Titans so far at training camp? What have you seen and heard as well? We want to hear from you. But coming up next, we'll talk about who are the future leaders of the Tennessee Titans. Could there be one new addition that will be a leader this year? We'll have to find out coming up next year on Forrest Company, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game.
Something that we've talked about is, you know, this team's gone through a lot of changes, a lot of new faces like yourself that are here. And so with that, and, you know, some people moving out, Derrick Henry was a big leader on this team for a long time. Now it's time for other guys to step up.
Right.
Is that kind of a natural process that you watch guys that just ascend into that leadership role?
Yeah. I mean, you know, some guys just have it naturally. You know, I feel like I'm a guy that, you know, I have it naturally. And I'm also in a position where, you know, you have to be the leader. And so, you know, being the guy that's out there, you know, calling the plays, you know, I'm in front of the huddle every time. You know, we're just giving little tips and reminders and And, you know, I always just, you know, stand on the guys, being positive, and then trying to make sure that we go out there and, you know, play the best ball that we can play. So, yeah, you know, it's going to be extremely fun for us this year, you know, to continue to grow together and just continue to go out there and battle.
Are you the Green Dot guy?
Yes, sir.
Green Dot guy Kenneth Murray Jr. from Titans training camp with Chase and Big Joe earlier this week, back here on Force Company, coming at you live this Saturday morning, talking about Titans training camp as the guys get rolling for the new season. But by the way, our show, Force Company, is presented by LPL Financial, Nashville, and Patrick Conger. Force Company, you know, we love planning for the future, so you can enjoy that plan today if you're out there listening. LPL's got you covered, guys. So with Titans training camp in mind, and the leadership was in question a lot this week, especially with the actions of Jeffrey Simmons, just focusing on him. Obviously, the spotlight was there with him, with the media member. So who are we going to trust long-term? That's the main question here. What is it going to look like as we go forward watching this team? I mean, I've listed a few guys for us to kind of talk about. You got Will Levis, Treylon Burks, Chig Okonkwo, Kenneth Murray Jr., J.C. Latham, and Peter Skoronski. I thought those would be some pinnacle guys for the future, and that doesn't necessarily mean all of them are going to be leaders for this organization moving forward. Things could certainly change drastically. I mean, things drastically changed for Murray Jr. because the Chargers couldn't keep him, and now he's in Tennessee, new scheme, he feels more comfortable. How do you guys feel about a newer face coming in, being vocal, but more importantly, he's the Green Dot guy?
I was on the fence about the Kenneth Murray signing when it happened.
Absolutely.
But seeing him in camp, he's great. I've been saying that a lot today. This guy looks great.
He's great.
Sunshine and rainbows. But of all the linebackers in that linebacker room, I think he would be the one I would trust the most to be the Green Dot guy. To be honest, let's go through it. You got Jack Gibbons, who maybe has a case for it. You got a rookie in Cedric Gray, who I don't trust yet. He could be great, but I don't really trust him. Kenneth Murray, of course, is your Green Dot guy. But what you're all trying to do here is you're trying to replace Azeez Alshire, who obviously left for Houston. So as far as the most accurate replacement, I feel that might be Kenneth Murray. I think they play similar play styles.
And it could be. Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I really like about Kenneth Murray is while he was with the Chargers, he's got some seasons under him. I know that at times, you know, his playing ability has been called into question, especially out there. And I know that last season may not have been one of the best seasons for him personally. But overall, I mean, you kind of do want him to replace, you know, what Azeez did last year, at least a little bit in terms of those numbers. I mean, he is a good linebacker out of Oklahoma, and he's a younger guy relatively too. You're taking a chance on a guy that, you know, is in his early 20s still, middle 20s like us around this round table for the most part. But being a former first round pick, there's a lot of hype around him. So Frazier, is there anyone in mind out of these guys that you think truly takes the next step in becoming a leader, more of a voice for this team this season?
Yeah, I mean, briefly talking about Kenneth Murray here, like, he does resemble a lot of Azeez Alshire's stats. I mean, last year, Azeez had 84 tackles. You look at Kenneth Murray, last year was a career year for him. Most tackles he's had in a season, so it's 79. I mean, I think you're going to get similar play from Kenneth Murray as long as he's able to keep his head on his shoulders and not, you know, no pun intended, fumble the bag.
Right.
But if he's able to kind of step up and be a true leader on that defense, minus Jeffrey Simmons and whoever else, like, is out there in this, I guess, secondary, like L'Jarius Sneed or Chidobe Awuzie, I think Kenneth Murray could be a great fill-in plug-in.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then this defense could be kind of scary. But as for the other side of the ball, who I think could be a vocal leader, Tajay Spears.
Yes. Oh, a name that I did not throw out there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Tajay Spears is a guy that you want to keep your eye on. One, because I'm kind of high. I've been high on him since the offseason going into this season. I said on the midday show that we did like bold takes for a day or whatever it was. I said that he would lead the AFC South in touchdowns, all-purpose touchdowns. So that's passing or receiving.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. Also, I just think he's one of those guys that you're going to be carrying that name into the next stadium, the new stadium.
Yes,
I agree. The youth behind him, along with just his production on the field.
Mm-hmm. I told you, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I think they're going to do a running back by committee with him and Pollard.
Absolutely. Yeah.
By week 8, I think Tony Pollard will be the workhorse back of this team.
Really? A name yeah. I think you guys left off on the defensive end, Harold Landry.
Yeah, I think so. I was kind of thinking of...
But I think he could be more of a quiet leader.
Yeah, I think so too.
True. And then on the offensive end, Lloyd Cushenberry.
Yeah.
A guy that's, you know, he's had reps.
That's a good point.
He's got a few seasons under his belt. I was talking to somebody after they traded for him, and he thought that he was the most complete center in the league.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah.
That's an interesting point. I was going for more younger guys.
I was
like
too. Yeah, I was too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I think that would be very intriguing to watch. And, you know, I think on the wide receiver front too, he's got a fresh start. He's really fast. I see a clip of him now that PK actually posted of Will Levis trying to calibrate with Calvin Ridley. Mm. So how much can Calvin Ridley seize this opportunity? Because I wonder just this. In the back of his head, is he wondering, you know, D-Hop and I, we're great wideouts. We can be here, you know, make sure that Will gets really comfortable. But could Calvin be thinking he's here a lot longer than just maybe a season or two? Because I think Calvin, if he gets comfortable enough with Will Levis, you know, we've seen some deadly wide receiver quarterback duos over the last years. Could Will Levis do that with Calvin?
Are you talking, is Will Levis going to be here more than 1 or 2 years?
No, I'm talking, could Calvin be one of these additional leaders
long-term?
Yeah.
He has a four-year contract.
Yeah, he'll be here. But as for leader point,
but I think, it's been a wash. We've said this several times on the station and on our show. It's like, yeah, it's a four-year deal, but really after the first 2 years, you're like, eh, we could move on from him possibly. Yeah. So, but I think it's just... I think it's gravy if you get the next 2 years out of that contract, I would say, for Calvin. But if Calvin is at his peak and remains there, then you start wondering, okay, how established is he past that second year in the room? So that's what I'm thinking.
Let me throw another one at you that I don't think you listed.
Mm.
Roger McCreary.
No, I did not list him.
Mm.
The singing man. Yeah.
Please elaborate more on this. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, please.
So Roger right now is more of your slot guy, but he's young. I think, is this his second or third year?
Third year, I think.
But he's taken a step every year. I could see him becoming kind of your perennial cornerback, especially with the guys you have now, depending on how long you keep L'Jarius Sneed, who I think is a bit older than McCreary. I want to say he's 28.
Yes. Roger is...
24.
Yeah, 24.
Yeah.
And then you asked for who?
Sneed.
Oh, yeah, Sneed's significantly older for sure. By the way, he is one of the best ranking guys in Madden. But, yeah, when you've got Sneed's knees coming in at 27 years old, about to be 28, I think.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
He's the youth of the secondary.
Yeah.
And I think your secondary foundation kind of flows through his future.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can take that step and become a leader and become kind of what he's on pace to be,
mm-hmm.
We're talking face of the franchise here.
Could be. I mean, that's an interesting point of view for sure. Do you believe that, Frazier?
I kind of look at Roger McCreary from afar, like, how do I put this? He's not Treylon Burks, okay? Mm. But he's kind of in a situation like Treylon Burks. There's a lot of veteran-esque leadership in the secondary. He can learn from a lot of guys. I think if he consumes more up here in the brain,
mm-hmm.
I think he can help translate that this year and also into next season.
That's what I'm saying. All those guys are older guys, too. Yeah. They're not going to be here forever.
Right.
McCreary's got his whole career ahead of him. He's got a good 10 to 12 years left in him.
Yeah, he's a recent 24-year-old guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're not wrong.
All the SEC guys on the team have had quite some pressure on them, I would say, relatively as of late. So that's interesting for sure. But I thought last year he did pretty well for the most part. I mean, he did get one pick, so... We'll have to find out if he can kind of elaborate a little bit more on that and, you know, expound upon what he's able to do. I thought in some bigger games down the stretch, I thought he's able to step up relatively well. So we'll have to find out. But before we transition here and get over to Newt's notes and hear from L.A. Newt instead of Connor Newt, we've got to touch on our question of the day really quickly. Frazier has formulated a really tasty question for us this morning.
It is. It opens up the palate. You're able to just transition things.
I'm already hungry.
Your favorite cookie to make an ice cream sandwich with?
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Yep, that is the question of the day. What is your favorite cookie to make an ice cream sandwich with? You know, I love snickerdoodle cookies.
Yeah.
I love oatmeal raisin cookies. Obviously, chocolate chip you can't go wrong with. But, man, have you ever had a snickerdoodle cookie with vanilla ice cream?
Warm.
Snickerdoodle. Warm.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about getting two crumble cookies and putting them together. That's just
no.
Over the top. Homemade or Publix or Kroger, whatever. Get you one of them snickerdoodle cookies.
Can't go wrong with together. Chocolate chip, though.
No, not at all.
Can't.
I'll throw one at you.
If you're trying to cut back the calories, just get one cookie, cut it in half, have half.
Here's a wild card.
Okay.
Red velvet cookie.
All right. Not wrong.
Bang.
It would be too. It may be too much chocolate for some people.
Maybe.
Okay.
But an M&M chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is like one of the top ice cream sandwich cookies out there.
It's not wrong.
Yeah.
Keezer, you have one specially in mind?
Snickerdoodle does sound really good.
I know, right?
I mean, the classic chocolate chip is a no-brainer. If it's offered to you and someone's like, here's an ice cream sandwich, chocolate chip cookie, I mean, that's another great one. I think, I'm trying to think of one that we've not named. What do you guys think? What if it was
white chocolate macadamia nut?
I mean, that's not bad either.
Took the words out of my mouth.
White chocolate chip, yeah, that's a really good one.
How about this? I've seen this before. Carrot cake cookies.
What? Right.
I've never had a carrot cake cookie.
I've seen them online. There are people that have like oatmeal. It's like oatmeal raisin cookie, but you put carrots in it, like shaved carrots.
Man. I'm not really big on carrot cake. Like now and then, if it has the right icing,
y'all are missing out.
Then it's good. But I think taking it as a cookie is too far.
Maybe. I don't know. I was going to say, like, the idea that I would have is, what about an Oreo cookie, like a bigger one? I mean, it's hard because Oreo cookies aren't that big. Yeah. You could also make miniature ones with Oreos, maybe. I don't know.
Could.
You know, you could.
What about peanut butter?
I'm a fan. You ever had
just peanut butter? Oh, yeah.
They're good.
No, they're good.
You mash them down with the fork on the top to get
put some chocolate chips in it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now we're talking.
let's
continue to Newt's notes.
Well, I like
the speaker might have some more of this.
Yeah, he might.
He might be booking something.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Well, be sure to message us at 615-737-1025. Call or text us this morning. What is your go-to ice cream sandwich cookie? You got to give us a style of cookie that we have just listed here on the program this morning. But coming up next year, as we do every Saturday morning at 9:45, it's time to hear from Connor Newt, L.A. Newt more specifically. He's got something on the cusp here for us to kind of hit on. So that's coming up next here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. L.A. Back here on Force Company this morning, we've got a big, big hyped up Connor Newt for Newt's Notes
this morning. It's a big
morning.
It's a big day.
Connor, take it away, my friend.
The speaker.
What do you got for us?
The speaker. Okay, let me talk to you. Okay, so we haven't done one of these in a while, and I figured we'll return to the roots here a little bit. The song, of course, is LA Knight's theme song, Wrestling.
Right.
Today is a big day in the world of wrestling. Today is SummerSlam.
It is.
Today is SummerSlam. So SummerSlam is like number two. WrestleMania is the big one.
Uh-huh.
This is number two.
Why was this not talked about at any point during the week?
I don't know. But I'm here to talk about it now.
Okay.
So let L.A. Newt take you through the card.
Please enlighten us.
And let's do a little bit of booking here, shall we?
Oh, man.
I don't have Chase. Yeah. I don't have Chase McCabe with me today. I figured I didn't want to throw that on Jake Wallman today, but I can handle this myself. All right. So starting off, we'll go with the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. First on the card, surprisingly, between Damian Priest of the Judgment Day, the champion, taking on the reigning King of the Ring, winner of the tournament, the Ring General, Gunther. I am going to take Gunther here to win the World Heavyweight Championship. I love the Austrian. I think he is brutal. If you ever watch one of his matches, lots of, you know, slaps across the chest. The chest is all red, and finishing it off with a powerbomb. I like the Ring General here as your new World Heavyweight Champion. Thoughts, Frazier?
Oh, no, I like that. I was honestly leaning towards DePriest, but, you know, I mean, DePriest.
DePriest.
I was looking at soccer. Damian Priest. I was leaning towards it, but I don't know. You make a valid point. Those slaps to the chest do kind of...
Brutal.
They are.
So to me, Priest has been more of a transitional champion.
Yeah.
He's been... His reign, it's been kind of stale. And you need kind of that charismatic heel as your champion. And you don't have that on the other side with Cody Rhodes, who I'll get to in a minute. But you want that heel.
Yeah.
I want a heel as the champion. So give me Gunther. Now, moving on, we go to the United States champion. As U.S. champion, a name Nick Kieser will know, Logan Paul.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Defends. Just
the most common guy.
The most common guy. Defends against my namesake. You know him as the megastar. Today, you'll know him as U.S. champ. L.A. Knight. Yeah. I mean, I can't bet against him.
Is it going to be close?
It's going to be a tight one.
Yeah, because
it
is written a little.
It's scripted.
So. I'll say
we'll say it's scripted.
over 4.5 pinfall attempts.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Over 4.5.
I'll take the over. Yeah, but LA Knight is on that meteoric rise. You know, he was kind of I would say under the mid card. And then he had a character change. Everyone loved him. He's on a rise. You know, he went from bottom of the barrel. Now he's competing for championships week in and week out. So,
yeah.
And plus, he's just, like I said with Gunther, he's so charismatic.
He's electric.
He's electric. Like, you cannot be. I play a lot of his promos coming into this segment
yes,
just
you
because
do.
They juice me up. I get so tense. But yeah, that's two title changes now from me. So we'll be kind of sparing on the rest just because that's how this kind of works. But
interesting.
We'll move over to the women's side next. The WWE Women's Champion, Bayley, is defending against the massive, I think she's 7 foot.
The girls are mean.
Yeah, they're mean.
By the way.
Like, Nia Jax.
Anytime I see clips of the girls, they're just ruthless.
Now, Nia Jax is related to The Rock, right? His niece, right?
She's in the bloodline.
Okay.
In some
I don't mean to
form.
Put you on the spot.
No.
But I mean, it was something along those lines. Yeah,
she,
yeah.
I believe she's in the bloodline in some capacity.
Hmm.
They're all related.
Yeah.
There's like 80 of them. Like,
that family tree is like bigger than an oak tree vine.
Is it bigger than your family's? Okay.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
We'll get to the bloodline 100%. Here in a second. But as far as this one, I think Bayley is going to retain.
Which
now,
one?
There is the threat of Tiffany Stratton as Miss Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested to see Nia Jax winning and then
cashing in.
So, Kieser, they have this thing called Money in the Bank, and basically what it does is you can cash in. It's a literal briefcase. You can cash.
So that's what that's for? I have seen clips of
that
before.
You can cash in quotes, cash in the briefcase for a championship honor opportunity anytime, any place.
Oh.
So, like, what a lot of
I've seen Logan do that before, I think.
Yeah. He did it once.
Yeah, because I've seen him run up with a case, mm-hmm. and he like smacks it down on like the stage.
Yeah,
yeah.
But what a lot of guys will do is they'll wait for the match to end, and then it's like a huge. Their music hits. They run down
announcement.
The announcement. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. And they'll cash in. And
that makes sense.
I gotta go with my gut. Bayley is gonna retain, and then I think they'll play into this.
Hmm.
Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton are doing like a best friend storyline or whatever. They're going to play into this and make it like a feud.
We're the
at some
three
point.
Best friends that anyone could have.
I'm going to go against you on the green. I think Nia Jax wins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. All right. Next is the Intercontinental Championship. Sami Zayn defending his title against Bron Breakker, former Kennesaw State linebacker, actually.
Oh.
If you ever watch him, he runs like he'll bounce rope to rope. Clocks in at about 23 miles an hour.
Holy
jeez,
electric,
Louise, dude.
So fast. I gotta go, Sammy. You can't have too many title changes here. I think Braun is too. He's the rookie, as they put it. I think he's too young, too raw for a big title. But I think they're building him up as this big bad heel, kind of like a Brock Lesnar figure.
Hmm.
So I'm gonna go Sammy, but I think. This is kind of a push for Braun to kind of go after something else. Next one is really fun. CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre with Seth freaking Rollins as the special guest
referee.
All
three of those guys have appeared at Bridgestone Arena at a Predators game. I've seen them on the big screen. I'm familiar with them a little bit.
CM Punk is from Chicago, so he's a massive Blackhawks
guy. I've seen him on the big screen.
Drew McIntyre lives here. He lives in Donaldson. And then Seth, I believe, is also from Chicago. So that's two Blackhawk guys and a Pred. I'm going to go with the Pred here. I'm going to take Drew McIntyre.
Oh, okay.
So this has been a huge storyline. CM Punk and Drew have been brawling since the Royal Rumble, which was in January.
Yeah.
And then Punk got, he tore his labrum off the bone and he's been out. And this is his first match actually back in WWE in over 10 years.
Oh, whoa.
So I'm saying this is Seth is the guest ref because he hates both of them.
Sure.
So he's going to play some shenanigans, screw somewhat. But I think his hatred for Punk is more than McIntyre.
Mm.
And Drew is kind of desperate for a win. So I think what better way to get him over than to take down the guy and give him some heat, take down the guy that they haven't seen in 10 years in the match. I love it.
There's a lot of storylines here.
Lots of storylines here.
Yeah. So you said it's the second biggest wrestling event of the year, correct?
I would say so. It's between WrestleMania is one, and it's between SummerSlam and the Royal Rumble for two.
Where was SummerSlam earlier?
It's in Cleveland this year. Last year,
It's not happened yet.
No, it's...
Wasn't SummerSlam in Nashville one year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah. I was there.
Isn't that the year they had Brock Lesnar come out in a giant, like...
He came out in a tractor, a bulldozer, and he literally flipped the ring.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That was awesome.
Okay, moving back to the women's side of things.
Sorry, dude.
The Women's World Championship, Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. This has been kind of a story...
Yes.
It's been kind of a story... Rey Mysterio, if you know who that is,
yes.
His son is kind of involved in this. He's on screen dating Rhea Ripley, but it's been kind of a will he cheat on her thing.
Yeah.
I like Liv to retain, and I'll tell you how.
Mm.
Dom's going to cost Rhea.
You think he's going to be DQ?
I think he's going to like distract Rhea a little bit, and then you get her for the roll up 1, 2, 3.
Mm.
Liv retains. Now the fun one. The main event, if you will. I'm going to book this one.
What you've all been waiting for.
The undisputed WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes defends his title against Solo Sikoa in a Bloodline rules match, which basically means no disqualification.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun. This is going to be a storytelling one for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's no disqualification, right? We're going to start off with a little bit of outside the ring, jibber jabber, into the crowd maybe. Some chair shots, stuff like that. Then the Bloodline comes out, gets involved. The new Bloodline, you will. Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and Jacob Fatu. Not the Roman Reigns Bloodline, but we'll get to that here in a second. They brawl it out. They get interfered. They interfere Cody. It's 4-on-1. Cody's going to need some friends. So out come his buddies Kevin Owens and the returning Randy Orton to help him out. And maybe Jey Uso as well. So we have a little 4-on-4.
Okay.
But there's got to be a wild card. So we got to stand off. Cody, Solo in the ring. The lights go out. And we hear this.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
That's right. Dwayne returns.
Wow.
Dwayne takes out Cody. Spine buster. Hits him with the 1-2. People's elbow down. The Rock, Solo stand tall. Solo looks like he's about to win the Undisputed Universal Championship. But Cody needs some help.
Mm.
There's got to be one more. Someone's in the back waiting for Cody. So we hear the music hit. The Tribal Chief returns after his hiatus from WrestleMania. Now, Solo's been trash-talking the Tribal Chief a little bit, saying he's the real Tribal Chief. Roman was weak because he lost at WrestleMania to Cody. Roman doesn't like this. Superman punch to Solo, takes him out. Who's left in the ring? Rock and Roman.
The storyline from earlier.
The storyline that we're building towards. Now, they don't attack each other. Just kind of a face-off.
A stare-down.
Kind of a stare-down. We're going to tease this. We're going to drag this out a little bit. We don't want a full frontal assault yet. But in comes Cody. Hits a Cody cutter to The Rock. Takes him out. then we have a little stare down between Roman and Cody. Remember, Cody is the one who took the title from mm-hmm. Roman in the first place. They don't attack each other either. In comes Solo with a spike to Roman, and he's all distracted getting into Roman.
Yeah.
Cody's behind him. Three Cody cutters, as he does to win matches. Cody Rhodes retains. The story continues.
Wow.
And that's SummerSlam.
I feel like I just lived that whole main event right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
Whoa. WWE should hire you as a writer.
They should. I should apply.
Maybe they're listening somewhere.
Maybe they are.
Vince McMahon, if you hear this.
Well, we don't talk about Vince. He's not associated with the company anymore. Oh, Triple H, if you're listening to this.
Hunter.
And Chase McCabe, if you're listening to this. That was for you.
That was really good.
Thank you.
That was well played.
I thought about this last night. I was like, hey, SummerSlam's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hey, I have both of those songs saved in the file.
I'll be done.
So I literally tacked this on Jake Wallman this morning.
There you go.
I was like, I need this.
I haven't seen this in a while. They don't do Fatal 4-Ways anymore, do they?
They do.
They do.
On occasion, yeah. A lot of times they'll do the match stipulation based on the storyline.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, the main event is Bloodline Rules, as they put it.
Yeah.
That's literally an excuse just
no
to
rules.
Bring back
right.
Roman Reigns. Which is going to happen. But, yeah, I mean.
You definitely had the hit on a lot there.
Yeah,
which
I
is
did.
Good.
It was a mouthful.
It was
honestly
fun to listen. Yeah.
That main event, if that happens, Connor, I'm calling you and I'm getting you a one-way ticket to Kentucky for the developmental
hey, man.
Camp.
There you go.
Hey, well.
You got to love it.
Football doesn't matter anymore in Kentucky, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's another thing.
It's okay. No postseason ban.
I'm surprised that wasn't your headline earlier today either, but we
didn't really get
that.
To headlines, yeah.
I mean, it was just, you know, what were the most, like, just the, honestly, just biggest things you guys
it's
saw from
it,
the
yeah,
week.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, look, man, Brian in Nashville is such a hater. Look, yeah, you may have thought it was fake since the 90s, man, but this is Newt's Notes. If you miss it, then you don't get to hear any good wrestling comments. This was phenomenal.
And that's the one thing that's the one thing that isn't fake, Newt's Notes.
No,
it's
not.
It's pure from the heart.
He's giving it to you. He's passionate about it. That's what
look,
we're about here.
That's another side rant I could go on. If you think it's fake, don't watch it. I know it's fake.
Right.
That doesn't mean do you watch movies in the movie theater?
Right.
Do you watch The Avengers? That's fake. You still love it.
True.
I don't know. It's just, that's a whole rant in its own.
Oh, yeah.
I get that for sure. Yeah. But anyway, no, it's all good. Look, you get your fill with Connor. Look, with WWE, the suit, obviously, the tribal chief, we call him that from time to time too, but more of the suit. But look, it's been fun kind of catching up with Connor, the latest in the world of WWE. Gotta love it.
Thank you.
Go back and listen to it.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Go back and listen to it on our podcast on Force Company. You can get that anywhere if you want your WWE fill before the big event. Obviously, plenty with Connor, as always, at 9:45 every single Saturday. But coming up next year to kick off hour number two, we're going to talk some Vols football. We're going to kick things off with Tucker Harlan up there in Knoxville. He has been keeping close tabs on fall camp there so far with the Big Orange. So we'll do that coming up next year on Force Company, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game.